When life gets harder, you get smarter. You don't mission, you level up like a boss. Connect Vox Fiber to your home, starting from 554 Rand per month. Level up your experience with Airtime's Wi-Fi boosters, Vobi voice app calling, offers 365, and over 160 other products to enhance your lifestyle. Live smart. Level up with Vox. Visit vox.co.za to view our range. T's and C's apply.
So, Richard, have you been playing around with this Face app? It's not a new app. It's been around for a few years, but I see the media latched onto it this week, and it's been reported everywhere. I downloaded it again, and it's pretty awesome. It's come a long way since the last time I looked at it.
Yeah. And also, the thing about it is seeing the different styles. It's incredible the AI that goes into it.
Yeah.
All kind of questions about that aside. It's amazing. I was actually playing with that Snapchat filters last night too. I just downloaded the app again. Don't actually use it for the service of sending Snapchats, but
yeah,
the AI on those face layovers are amazing.
No, it's pretty cool software, but we'll get to it a bit later in the show because I've got a little trick up my sleeve.
I don't even want to know.
And you definitely want to be watching the video version of this podcast today so you can see what I've done to Richard in FaceApp. But we'll pull those pictures up on
there. Am I going to get nightmares again? Is everybody going to get nightmares?
It's good fun, though. It's good fun. But we'll talk about it later in the show. You're drinking a no-name brand beer today by the looks of it. What have you got there?
So, Duncan, the benefits of having friends who brew beer is you get stuff that don't make it to market, that's kind of experimental, no label. So this is actually an IPA using mostly South African hops, brewed by a Joburg brewer called Brixton Brewery, Wayne Johnson. So shout out to him for this amazing beer. It's an IPA, so it's quite a dry Brixton Brewery. Yeah, you can find their Brixton Bitter at a few places. Great beer. So this is kind of in that style, which is an IPA as opposed to a different ale. But there's South African hops in there, and it's not as floral and fruity as most of the kind of the modern IPAs are. They're kind of appealing to that floral kind of tasting mark, but this is kind of more dry, and it's beautiful. And the fact that there's only a few bottles makes it even better.
Nice.
So unfortunately,
so is it a test batch?
They might try this one.
Is it a test batch that they might not bring to market?
Yeah, so, I mean, a lot of these brewers, and in fact, if you look on the label of this glass, Warthogs, they actually had their winter festival yesterday. Unfortunately, I didn't get to it. But a lot of the brewers, too, they brew small batches, and I'm talking about really high-quality, local-produced or home-brewed beer. And this is top quality. You'd expect to find this on tap somewhere. They either do a test batch or they just have some hops and they want to experiment, you know. A lot of brewers brew all weekend. Every second weekend, you know. So they're always.
And a lot of it doesn't make it to market.
Most of it doesn't, because I mean, the commercial side of it, you kind of, there's what people buy and what connoisseurs like, or people that's enthusiastic about the beer, kind of two different things, two different market segments. So even if, you know, a lot of them also just brew for their own. If they like the style of beer, they would, you know, you'd brew your own batch and, you know, enjoy your own really good beer if it fits a style that you're not finding elsewhere.
Yeah.
A lot of benefits to doing that type of thing. But again, this is just kind of more serious, you know, 25-liter style and developing recipes, I guess.
So you are drinking the beer equivalent of Alpha Software.
Yeah, but there's not so many bugs in there. You can see
Well, I would certainly hope not.
Pretty drinkable.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So if you're watching the YouTube version of this podcast this week, you'll see that we've got a nice fancy little logo flashing around in the background. And that was developed by a gentleman by the name of Werner Buerter, who is actually sitting right next to me here right now. He doesn't want to come on camera, but we have a live studio audience. Werner, at least use your voice. Say hello to the crowd.
Hello, crowd.
Thanks for joining us in the studio here today, Werner. It's great to have you here, and good work with the logo. It looks fantastic. So, shall we get into this week's show, Richard?
Let's do it.
Let me find my show notes. There we go. I'm Duncan MacLeod.
And I'm Richard van den Berg.
This is Talk Central, episode 266 for the week starting 21 July 2019.
Talk Central is brought to you by Tech Central. Join our YouTube live stream on Sundays from 1 p.m. Well, today it's 3 p.m. And please hit that subscribe button.
On Talk Central this week, Vumatel to roll out fiber in the Cape Flats.
Also on the show this week, Gautrain's expansion plans, drama at EOH, Netflix's tough quarter, and finally, Red Dead Redemption 2 may be coming to PC.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And we were going to chat about that last week, but Rachat, you went down to Durban. Was it a business or pleasure?
It was a social, yeah, social trip.
Just, oh, lovely.
Seeing some friends off, but yeah, it was a, it's always good to be in winter, especially the beach, the ocean water was beautifully warm.
Oh, lovely. Did you go for a swim?
Of course, I can go to the beach, not go in, right?
You know,
I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's a Vali thing. All the Valis go down to, when they go down to Durban in the middle of winter, they're going to have a swim in the sea. But none of the Durbanites are actually swimming because the water's too cold.
Well, yeah, I mean, I saw a few Durbanites in the water there. So,
oh, you did? Okay.
I think times have changed.
Must have been very warm.
No, it was a cold day, but the water is beautiful.
Beautiful, yeah. I love the KZN coast in the wintertime. I wish I could live. I think I've said this before in this podcast. I wish I could live down there 6 months a year and Joburg the other 6 months of the year.
So why don't you set up a podcast studio there and we can just migrate there, do some remote work. It could work for us long-term plans.
With all this tech, I don't need to be tethered here in Johannesburg, do I? Just need a fiber connection.
That's the only prerequisite.
And those are only available in the cities right now. Although they're about to come to Mitchell's Plain, but we'll talk about that shortly. That's why we didn't have a podcast last week, because Rachat was gallivanting in KZN.
I wouldn't call it gallivanting, but thanks.
Enjoying the warmth of Durban.
Beautiful.
But let's talk about Vumatel. But before we get onto that, let's do our quiz. Do you want to do the first question, Rachat?
Sure. First question. Name the two top EOH executives who resigned this week, a day before EOH published details of an ENS Africa probe into corruption at the JSE-listed firm.
And who said earlier this month that Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies are, quote, not money?
Third question. ITV and BBC have agreed to create a new online streaming service to rival Netflix. What would it be called?
And which senior Vodacom Group executive is joining MTN Group as digital and fintech head?
And the final question, which billionaire declared this week that he's ready for the company to take him to space?
As always, the answers to the quiz at the end of the show. Let's get into this week's news. And I had a fascinating interview this week, which we podcast. If you haven't heard it yet, go have a listen to it. It's on Tech Central with Dietlof Marais, who is the newly appointed CEO of fiber to the home operator Vumatel. He took over from Neil Schoeman, I think late last year. And it was a fascinating discussion, not least because he's announced that Vumatel is going to roll out fiber to the home broadband on the Cape Flats outside of Cape Town, which is probably not an area where you'd expect fiber to be rolled out. It's a lower LSM area compared to the areas where fiber operators have typically operated in South Africa. Now, they're offering a single package there, uncapped internet, 20 megabits per second or 10 megabits per second on the uplink. So quite respectable, all inclusive for $3.99 a month.
Not bad.
Not bad at all, I don't think. I think you're paying about $650, $700 for that, the equivalent of that on OpenServe or on Vumatel in the suburbs.
Oh, will there be a startup cost, like an installation fee or something like that?
I didn't actually ask that question. It's a good point. I'm not sure.
You have to pay for your modem, which, with the Huawei routers these days, they're pretty cost-effective, probably $600, $700, $800 or something.
Yeah. Yeah,
but what we'll probably see with a lot of with this type of installation is, you know, one house or one household will get it, and they'll probably share it with their neighbors. You know,
yes,
especially if there's a bunch of people who kind of want to club together. Mm.
What amazes me is they're managing to do this 399 rand price point using trenched fiber. So the fiber is trenched all the way into people's homes in Mitchell's Plain.
Oh, interesting.
And the reason they did that wasn't because they could do it cheaply. Obviously, it is cheaper to deploy aerial fiber, but the municipal bylaws in Mitchell's Plain do not allow for the deployment of aerial fiber, so they had no choice but to trench. But they said that because of the density of the housing in that area, apparently the distance from the fiber running through the streets to people's CPEs or consumer premises equipment, where the box gets put in, is less than 20 meters typically, whereas even in a densely packed suburb like Parkhurst, it's typically more 40 to 60 meters. So from that perspective, it reduces the cost as well. And because they're reducing the complexity, so you only have one option, a 2010 connection. It's actually a good speed.
The 10 up is fantastic.
You can watch Netflix fine on a 20 megabit per second connection.
Oh, yeah. I think multiple. And also remember, you're not going to have HD necessarily have high definition devices connecting to one Wi-Fi point, right? It's going to mostly be mobile devices, smartphones connecting.
Yeah.
So you'll be able to have multiple people and still get away with a good speed.
At 20 megabits a second, you could run a TV at 1080p, streaming Netflix, and still have sufficient bandwidth left over for you to browse the web, to do your email and all that sort of thing. No problem.
Mm, definitely.
With no buffering.
Music downloading, yeah. Mm. I think it's a good thing. This is where the government should be spending money, to be honest, in this type of deployment, rather than buying iPads for schools at this point. In some regards, I think this is, because now you're giving access to that information, which is key.
Yeah.
Access just to the internet.
Yeah. And it's amazing. And you'll remember the Vumatel's plans to deploy fiber in Alexandria at 89 Rand a month per endpoint. They're still going ahead with that. They're not talking less than 100 Rand. So maybe there's a bit of price creep. But they're still talking about doing that. So dropping fiber just about at every residence and then offering the ability for people to connect those up via Wi-Fi hotspots and allow the community, entrepreneurs in the community to connect to that fiber and on-sell Wi-Fi access to others in the community on a prepaid sort of basis. Mm. And if projects like this, and Alex, I think, is going to be the toughest of them all, because that really is a very low LSM community.
There's no real addresses there. So
no.
In many parts of Alex. So, yeah. That's going to have to be a single node somewhere that, I guess, distributes Wi-Fi at those points.
And it'll have to be on a prepaid basis as well, which, interestingly enough, by the way, the Mitchell's Plain rollout is being done on a prepaid model as well. And according to Dietloff Meyer, it's the first rollout of fiber anywhere in the country that is available on a prepaid basis. And we saw what happened with prepaid in the cellular industry and how it transformed communications in South Africa, because it allowed millions of people to get a telephone for the first time and to, with relatively little money to be able to be connected. It's possible that a similar model is going to transform the fiber broadband market. And can you imagine if we've wired up the northern suburbs of Joburg, parts of Pretoria, Cape Town and Durban to fiber from companies like Vumatel and OpenServe and Octatel and others. Mm. But can you imagine the socioeconomic impact of making uncapped fiber internet available across the country in townships? Probably not in remote rural areas. I think the economics of that just don't make sense. But imagine rolling out relatively affordable, uncapped fiber broadband in Soweto, in Mamelodi, in places like that, and the potential impact it would have down the line in our economy as youngsters get online, start to do stuff, start to tinker, start to program, start to do all the cool stuff, that you just actually can't do on a metered mobile connection. Mm-hmm. Down the line, it could transform our economy and lead to a skills revolution. I think it's that important.
I mean, I'm sure you can relate to the story, but when I was a kid, I wanted nothing more than an encyclopedia set, because, having that stuff at home was like, you could look up stuff any point in your day, that was amazing.
Yes.
Take that, 30 years later, and all of a sudden you have, the potential to have very easily every information, every bit of information at your fingertips, especially looking at YouTube how-to videos, if I want to teach myself how to do something.
Yes.
That's a real empowerment, over and above the educational side of things. So yes, we're going to see a lot more programmers, a lot more people who want to build stuff for the web. Application development becomes easier.
Exactly.
HTML learning.
Yeah.
With finding jobs. There's the social media aspect, which allows people now to, represent themselves online in a way, for good or bad, I guess. But the potential there just to reach the world.
Yes.
It's exciting times, but get to the point where we get that uncapped.
Yeah. Bradley Reynolds in the chat room says, this is amazing news, great news. I couldn't agree more. He says, that's a dream, information for all. Super stoked to hear it's still going to happen. Talking, I think, about the Alexandra project. I can't agree more. It's fantastic to be able to roll this out, and let's hope the company can make it work commercially, because if it can, then, you know, if it's going to work in Alex, it can work just about everywhere.
But you mentioned earlier the high density, and you know, people, data on phones, cell phones, is very important. It's a very important commodity. Yeah. Having that at your home, and so many people want that, I think they're going to make a lot of money. Because the infrastructure they need to deploy isn't as much as what they would in suburbs. Yeah, and to trench there, I'm sure, isn't as tricky as some of the very fussy neighborhoods that they have to get into. I mean, I remember the stories from some of the neighborhoods when we went through trying to get fiber here, and people complain about everything.
Yeah, I think there will be safety issues in deploying in some of these areas, and I think Vumatel has already seen that in some of its deployments. But I think that's no reason for them not to go ahead.
Community also won't stand for it. I mean, if you have something like this coming in, the community will certainly not stand for vandalism on those.
Yes.
And there's no value in fiber, which I think is why it finally makes sense. You know, it's like copper going into the ground.
Yeah, yeah. Bradley also says, do you know Bradley Reynolds, Rahul? Just wondering if you know, because he's talking about beer, so I'm just wondering if you know of him. He says Agos, Agos Tomahawk IPA is awesome.
Agos, that's one of the top breweries in Joburg, top exports we have up here. And if anybody had a chance, they should go to their brewery in Kaya Sands.
And Werner, who's sitting right next to me, is also posting in the comments room. He says, I still have a full set of encyclopedias. Don't know who would want to buy them in South Africa. It's a good point.
Exactly, the information on those dates so quickly, right?
Yeah. You remember how expensive the Encyclopedia Britannica used to be? I mean, it was an incredibly expensive product. And now you just fire up Wikipedia and get all the information you want. Although sometimes its accuracy is perhaps a little to be questioned, but...
But isn't that the beautiful thing about learning how to research things? You learn how to dissect information and find multiple sources. And that's what we're missing now, because people get onto the internet in South Africa and they don't have a understanding of how information flows and what's potentially not the right information.
Yeah.
Yeah, education. That's what getting internet into the hands of people earlier.
And they'll teach themselves.
Exactly.
The best. I've heard this said often. The best programmers are self-taught programmers.
And all the information is there for free. I mean, there's so many. Yeah. I actually had this conversation yesterday, I think. There's a lot of free academies. I mean, those, what's it called, SOC or SO something? Or study.
There's Khan Academy, which is fantastic.
Khan is also a great one. Mm. I mean, my favorite is still YouTube. I think I think you can get everything there.
Yeah.
The comment section, you know, you can filter out the stuff that's not right or that kind of is downvoted inaccurately.
Yeah. I mean, I've basically learned how to use this Wirecast software which we use to stream by watching YouTube videos. YouTube's a great resource for education. Mm-hmm. Right. I couldn't remember to press the right buttons because I forgot to hit the fiber buttons, but it is now showing in the background. We'll be ready to move on to our next story.
Ms. Parkley.
Which is on Netflix. So let me hit that button, and there we go. Beautiful Netflix logo with clouds in the background. I love playing around with the software. Anyway, Netflix.
So quick question. Are those tied up to your buttons yet? So you're pressing your
Stream Deck buttons? No, my Stream Deck is only showing me the Bitcoin price in dollars currently, still.
That's the next project you're going to tackle.
I need to tackle it. It's not too complicated, but it's sitting here looking at me. I actually forgot about it. But yeah, I must do that.
If there's other tech you don't want to use in your office, just let me know.
Well, we were just chatting yesterday, actually, that we need to get a green screen your side, because once we do that, we're going to be able to do some pretty amazing things with these videos.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So really looking forward to that. So Netflix disappointed the market. Worst performance, subscriber performance since they split their business in two and basically started to exit the DVD rental business. Do they still do DVD rentals? I don't think they do.
I think they do in the States.
Do they still do it in the States?
I'm sure, because I've got an American account, a US account, and I still see a DVD. I saw it.
Oh, do you? It's amazing they still do that, actually. It's a real legacy business.
There's a few video stores around. There's one I've seen the other day in Greenside. Like,
oh, really?
Place. Yeah, and it's clearly still, you know, yeah, there's still a DVD button. I'm just out of the region.
Oh, there is. Okay. But Netflix disappointing. Their US subscriber base went backwards and the international growth was way below expectations. And the share price took a massive smack. I think it was down at least 10% on the day the results came out. And it comes at potentially a bad time for Netflix because we see Disney about to launch its own streaming service. We've got HBO lining itself up. They're going to be pulling some of their own content, which they've been reselling or making available through Netflix, back to their platforms. So Netflix is going to lose shows like The Office, for example.
And Friends is going off their platform.
Yeah, I'm not going to miss that, I must say.
You're talking for yourself there.
Did you enjoy Friends?
It's one of those things, you know, I'm one of those people that put stuff on the background when I'm just wanting some distraction while I'm doing other stuff around the house or whatever. And Friends is a staple diet.
Oh, okay.
It's my comfort food, you know.
I think I've watched one episode ever and I judged the entire thing based on that episode.
Yeah, you're not the right audience for that.
I have been rewatching Star Trek TNG though, which is on Netflix.
Now that's your kind of show, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, Captain Picard. Have you seen the new trailer for Picard, by the way, the upcoming Picard show?
Yeah, you sent it to me. Mm. It's going to be good.
Yeah, it's looking really good. Not much detail about what
Wookiees in these in the season.
Sorry,
do you think we'll see any Wookiees in that season?
I don't know. I think we're going to see the Borg.
That was a dig at yours, at your Star Trek versus Star Wars.
I don't know what a Wookiee is. I'm pretending I did. What is a Wookiee, Richard? Enlighten me.
That's a Star Wars, the Wookiee, man. The Star Wars, Han Solo's best friend, Chewbacca. He's a Wookiee.
Oh, I don't watch Star Wars. So I'm a Star Trek guy, not a Star Wars guy.
That's why I was trying to make the dig at you.
Okay. It went straight over my head. It went straight over my head. Bad numbers from Netflix, bad subscriber numbers. But Reed Hastings, I think his name is, the CEO, talking up a good game, saying this is a temporary aberration. We'll be back on track soon. They've maintained their full year subscriber growth numbers. You're a Netflix subscriber. Are you a bit disappointed in the sort of content they're putting on there at the moment?
Not really, but again, you know, I've always maintained you have multiple services, and there's one or two of them that I would stop. So Showmax, I would stop when I'm kind of really not watching anything there. But Netflix is something I always have because there's always something on there that I'm interested in.
Yeah.
So for me, that's kind of my premium service, my first choice, and then everything else below that I would either cancel and resubscribe to as I want to and need.
Yes.
And I think that also that kind of usage, you know, a lot of people do that, and that,
yeah,
I'm sure, reflect on the numbers.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's a new usage model, so it'll always fluctuate.
I think Picard is going to be showing in South Africa on Amazon Prime Video, so I guess I'll be renewing my Amazon subscription towards the end of the year when it gets released.
Isn't that the beautiful thing about just on-demand services?
Yeah. It
still baffles me how they make money based on that, though. Because, I mean, how many millions to produce a show like Picard, and if you only subscribe for a month and binge it?
Yeah. Well, I suppose they hope that they've got enough other shows that you wouldn't cancel.
Sure. And then that's often the case, I guess.
Yeah.
Still, I guess the DVD CD rental market, DVD rental market did the same thing, right?
Mm. And of course, they do have some good shows coming up. I mean, Stranger Things 3 has been getting great reviews. I haven't watched it yet.
I've heard very mixed things about it.
Okay.
I'm going to start watching that yet.
Yeah. I still haven't watched season 2.
No, same, yeah.
I'll get around to it at some point. But I am looking forward to the new season of The Crown. Have you seen The Crown? No.
Do I look like somebody who watched The Crown, don't
you? Come on, Richard. It's actually very good television. No, brilliantly
you're
talking
acted. About the first season. Looks interested, but
season 2 was also
less
good.
Time watching shows these days, so I'm very selective about, you know, what I actually do watch when I sit down.
Yeah. So, Bradley says in the chat room, looking forward to the sound effects for the winner and the loser this week. No one more than me, Bradley. No one more than me.
I dread it.
Should we press it now just for some fun? Yes, we have to get in as many of those as possible. For those listening to the audio version of this podcast, Richard is putting his hand over his face.
I'm just more bowing my head in shame.
Right, EOH. I've got a very nice graphic lined up for this one. Let me send that live. So they announced the release this week of their report from ENS Africa into corruption involving EOH Mtomba, their subsidiary, and of course the big Microsoft software licensing deal with the Department of Defense, which we broke in February of this year. That ENS investigation has been going on for several months. They were first tasked with looking at the Microsoft deal. And that report was released this week, announcing approximately 1.2 billion rand in suspicious transactions, which are now going to be probed further. But a day before the redacted or the summarized version of the report was released, two of their top long-standing executives fell on their swords. Zunaid Mayet, who was the CEO prior to Stephen van Coller taking over last year, he had taken over from the founding CEO, Asher Bobot, and had been running the Nextech division, and Rob Godlinton, who was the head of the ICT division. So these are the two big divisions within EOH. Both resigned literally 12 hours before the report was published. Stephen van Coller did say that they resigned of their own volition, and that they were doing so in effect because they, while they weren't implicated in the ENS Africa report, they these things occurred on their watch, and I think it's the right move. We don't know if there was any pressure brought on them to go, so perhaps we need to give them the benefit of the doubt and say they actually did voluntarily step down in light of everything that's happened. But I think it shows good corporate governance. It shows EOH is on the road to mending itself. And I think it's a welcome development. And I think Stephen van Coller was correct, even though they were so senior within the organization, and they're going to be leaving behind a lot of institutional knowledge. I think it's right that they leave the organization. So well done to EOH. But no doubt we're going to be seeing more on the story unfold as time goes on, as ENS Africa continues its investigations. I'm sure there's more going to be coming out of the woodwork. But according to Stephen van Coller anyway, they appear to have ring-fenced the worst of it.
It's a sad time to have to deal with these things in a corporate. I mean, I guess you see it so often around.
Yeah.
In so many big corporates, but we need to clamp down on this because, South Africa is, we need to save this money, we can't get the cash that goes into these businesses. We need to spend on the right things, like fiber to, the home, right?
Absolutely. And of course, all these allegations and everything that's gone on in the EOH has cost them dearly. I mean, their market cap has fallen dramatically. Their share price is trading around 20 rand a share just 2.5-3 years ago. It was trading at 180 rand a share. So there's been a huge destruction of shareholder value as a result of this poor governance, the malfeasance that went on at that organization. And it's about time it got cleaned up. And well done to EOH. And I wish I could say the same thing about the South African government when corruption scandals emerge there. We don't see a similar sort of haste, a similar sort of desire to clean things up and to report people to for prosecution. A number of cases at EOH has been reported to the Hawks for further investigation, and we may indeed see some EOH or former EOH executives going to jail in time.
So we're not going to talk much about the Zondo Commission this week, I hope.
Oh, please no. Please no. No, let's not even go there. What's next on?
Moving swiftly along.
Moving swiftly along, indeed. It's a Sunday afternoon. I'm relaxed. I'm having a southern comfort. I don't want my blood to start boiling about Jacob Zuma and the Zondo Commission. What else do we need to talk about this week? We need to talk about Red Dead Redemption. So let me hit that button over there. And you picked this up, actually, Rachid. We were due to talk about it last week or even the week before last. But some reports emerged a couple of weeks ago saying that some code has been found in their software. I'm not sure where it was exactly, suggesting that a PC version is coming. Perhaps not imminent, but it's coming.
I mean, I think it was inevitable. I mean, if you look at just Rockstar Games and how they do it, it was always just the debate or the question around when and how long after. Because the main reason, I guess, the main reason for them delaying it is. I guess a bit of money, but also piracy is a big thing. Once you port to a PC, then that thing gets everywhere. On console, I think you still have a lot of control over it. But it's going to be good to see.
They did the same thing with GTA 5, right? I mean, they released it on console first, came to PC a couple of years later, and it's made an absolute killing. If you go onto Steam and look at the top sales, I think it's been sitting there pretty much since the PC release, which was about, 2-3 years ago now?
Yeah, I think so.
So it must have. I mean, I think GTA 5 is the biggest grossing game, PC game of all, or video game of all time.
And especially the modding side. I heard something interesting the other day. Did you know that there's a mod out for? And I can't remember what it was called, But there's a mod out for it that allows you to play any character in it, a non-player character. So the idea is for this to become like, if you imagine a Second Life style thing,
yeah,
Second Life style game within the GTA environment. But you can literally be anything, like a guy just randomly walking in the street and, you know, do whatever you do in GTA as that character within a framework, which is pretty interesting based on that awesome open open style world. Did you play Red Dead Redemption 1, though?
Very briefly. I didn't have a console, but I think I actually played it at Simon Dingle's house once for an hour or so. It was good fun.
It was a great game.
I think Simon called it Red Dead. No, what did he call it? Grand Theft Horse.
Exactly what it was.
Yeah.
It's a fun game. I mean, again, it's a Rockstar title, right? So you know right off the bat you're going to get into something that's pretty spectacular.
Yeah.
And it's a storyline within the storyline within the second one, and I think the stuff that you can do that is, for at least for me that hasn't played it, that's going to be the appealing part of it. I mean, the real open world stuff.
Yeah. So do you think it'll be out by Christmas?
I think it might. I think it will be. I think it will be. Let's take a 50 rand bet on that one, if you disagree.
I don't really. I think it'll probably, if they're going to do it, they'll do it a few weeks before Christmas to get in the Christmas sales. If they don't do it this year, then we'll probably only see it November, December next year.
Yeah, that wouldn't make sense. And I'm, it would make sense to do it now, I think. Because there's not, I mean, there's not much, I haven't seen that much hype around the console version of the game.
Lately.
It's still going, there's still a huge fan base and people are still getting on board, but now's the next wave of, you know, the marketing machine.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So that takes care of our news this week. Let's move on to our regular features. Our winner this week, and I'm going to put something very pink on the screen, is Vumatel for their decision to roll out in Mitchell's Plain, and of course their recommitment to doing the Alexandra project. And I wish them all the best of luck in getting that to work successfully and commercially successfully, because if they can do that, then it's going to be transformative to our country. So well done, Vumatel. And who is our loser of the week? We've got so many windows here to click on these days. Our loser of the week. Do we have a loser? Oh, we do. Facebook. Facebook is our loser of the week, mainly because they are getting into so much trouble with US lawmakers. Everything they do, because of course, the Cambridge Analytica scandal last year, lawmakers, regulators are looking at them with a fine-tooth comb. And of course, they announced just recently that they are involved in a coalition of organizations to launch Libra. Apparently, I'm not supposed to call it a cryptocurrency, but I'm going to anyway.
Cryptocurrency, Duncan.
The crypto diehards say it's not a cryptocurrency, but everyone else calls it a cryptocurrency. But the US lawmakers this week were giving Facebook hell about the launch of this. And I think they are going to face an uphill battle because nation-state governments see this as a threat. They see cryptocurrencies as a threat. And perhaps they were happy to allow Bitcoin to be there because it wasn't big. It still isn't big, and it wasn't threatening fiat currencies. Facebook is a different story. They've got 2.2 billion active users. If Libra and their Calibra app platform, which they're going to build for Libra, are successful, and even though Facebook says that they are going to be pegging this to a basket of real world assets, including fiat currencies like the US dollar, down the line, you know, Libra could pose a challenge to central banks potentially, so I expect we're going to see more and more pushback on this. I still think Bitcoin is more of a threat to central banks or cryptocurrencies more broadly. But Libra, just the power of Facebook and the fact that it has so many active users, I think may make it a bigger threat in the longer term.
Facebook is becoming a bit of a machine. I mean, I've always been worried about it, but it's getting big. That much information at their control.
Yeah. I think it has to be regulated. I think it has to be regulated. But we've seen some lawmakers saying that it should just be banned or it shouldn't be allowed until you know, until there are very strict processes in place. I think there has to be innovation, even if it's a company the size of Facebook. You can't just squash innovation because you're worried about the potential impact of it. If you're worried about that it might break existing, the way the world works at the moment. That's how innovation works. It breaks things. And sure, Facebook probably shouldn't be allowed to disrupt it at a pace that would unnecessarily harm consumers. But I think that it would be wrong for politicians to step in and say that Facebook can't do this stuff. And I think they should be allowed to innovate and they should be allowed to launch this. And generally speaking, the regulators should largely get out of the way. There has to be some regulation, of course. And I'm not going to come at this from a pure libertarian perspective, but I do think that the pushback we're seeing from people like Donald Trump and members of the US Senate and Congress are a bit over the top, and they are a reaction to the Russian meddling in the U.S. election and the use of Facebook for to try and influence U.S. politics. And I think that's why we're seeing so much pushback from American politicians. But I think it's also dangerous if they do try and block this, because after all, and I think the point needs to be made, and I think someone actually made this point. It may have been the Libra executive at Facebook. Is that, you know, if Facebook doesn't do this, then a company from China is going to do it, or somewhere else in the world, and the disruption is going to come anyway. So, you know, the US may as well be the one that does it.
Yeah, for sure. And when you talk about technology and you know, we need to innovate these things, completely, 100% agree with that. But we know that the people that control the money and control the banks, or at least those institutions, you know, they're going to fight tooth and nail to prevent this from happening. Because once you enable people to send money anywhere in the world for relatively easily,
yeah,
then things get really interesting. I mean, it's great for consumers, but
those
guys that control the banks, they're not going to be happy.
So, Recha, tell me a bit about your pick this week, Toggle.
So Toggle is a little tool for people who want to track time, especially people at Bull, freelancers like myself who work on various projects. So I've been using this for about 3 or 4 months now, and it's a pretty cool app. It makes it a lot easier to track just the things that you do. So I would often switch between various tasks within an hour, and keeping. So some of my clients would want that, you know, that exact kind of time sheet, but also for me just to know where my time is going when I'm working on a various project. So Toggle is an awesome little service. There's an app for it. I'm using the free version. There's also a paid for version that gives you a few extra features as it usually does. And it basically allows you to hit the record button, just write a description. You can add a lot more information to each entry if you want to. But I just basically, you know, use it for kind of what you're working on. It's a short headline. I've got my little code system that I use. And from anywhere, I can literally hit the record button, make an entry, even if I'm, you know, doing a video shoot or something out in the field. It just allows me to, I know how much time I've spent on this, even if I'm breaking that up multiple times in an hour, switching between various projects. So for freelancers, this is a pretty great tool. And it makes so much easier to do reporting at the end of the month.
Oh, very nice.
It saves hours. Like, I used to do it manually and saves hours to do it.
So is there a free tier and a paid tier?
Yeah, so the free tier, I actually don't know what the paid tier costs, but the free tier is more than sufficient. I think the paid tier just, you know, obviously just gives you more scope for projects. So you can do multiple clients, but you can do it within the free version.
Yeah, yeah. So I forgot to do this for Facebook. I can't believe I forgot after all of that.
Yeah, that's appropriate.
And your pick is Toggle. There we go.
Yeah.
Right. Are you ready, Rehart?
Not. I don't want to see this.
You might want to cover your eyes. I'm going to do me first. All right. So my pick this week, as we spoke about at the beginning of the show, is FaceApp. It's been around for a couple of years, but it's shown massive improvement in recent years. So I took my Twitter profile. If you want to see the original, I haven't put it on the screen, but if you go to twitter.com/McLeodD, McLeodD, you could also fire Rehart while you're there. That's REGARDT on Twitter. And you can see the photos we used, source materials. So, I made myself old and I made Rehart old. So are you ready, Rehart? And we're going to show myself first. So I want to prolong the pain for you just for a few moments longer. So that's what it did to me.
Oh, You look like, you look like the kind of man that shouts at kids, get off my lawn, you crazy kids.
Yes. I'm already that sort of guy.
Summed it up, eh?
But I look very different depending on the source photo I use. So it's not a very accurate way of seeing what you're going to look like one day. Also,
I thought that was a current photo, Duncan. Sorry.
No, that photo on Twitter is a couple of years old already. I'm much more handsome these days, Rahat. Are you ready, Rahat?
Where's the cricket sound effect? You should have put it in.
Crickets. I forget which one it is. I'm going to have to randomly press buttons now until I find it. Oh, there it is.
Oh, there you go.
Okay, are you ready?
Okay, let's see it. Oh, no. That actually looks like a family member of mine, so it could be very accurate. Wow.
Does it really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Actually, you don't look too bad.
Not that I would call that riveting YouTube watching, but...
No, not
probably,
really.
We probably lost like 5 viewers already.
we should have got some famous people and done them, right?
There's actually a few guys that did it online. It's very funny. It's amazing how this AI technology actually works. Firstly, it's very interesting to research that, but I love the effects. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Should we talk about the privacy aspect of this, though?
Yeah. So it's a Russian service, but apparently their servers are based in the US. I don't know what your views are, Rehat, but you know, all they're really doing is taking your image. You're uploading your image all the time to Instagram and Facebook, so what's the difference?
I guess the clause in there that I saw that was a little bit worrying is the fact that they can use your image then for anything. I guess Facebook
does the same thing.
Instagram does the same, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that is a worrying factor, yes, if you find your stuff out there, but I mean, I'm not really... You know, I guess it doesn't, the stuff that I put on there, I wouldn't be too precious about in that respect.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose they could take it and use it in some vast facial recognition database or something. I mean, that maybe is the worry, but really, I mean, these guys are just trying to...
Your photographs are out there, right?
They're out there anyway.
Pinpoint whose photograph belongs to what person. And if you have access to Facebook, that's an easy, easy thing.
My pics are on Facebook. My pics are on Twitter. My photos are all over the internet. So why would I be concerned?
Right. I mean, again, I guess it depends on your viewpoint of that. And if you've always been able to stay offline like that, you certainly don't want to be using this app. But for the rest of us, who's already off, even if you Google your name, your face is already out there.
Yeah. And I know a few people who are not on Facebook and refuse to put images of themselves on the internet because they don't trust it. If you're not one of those people, I really wouldn't be concerned about using this app. Although there is a fake version of this app apparently that was available, may still be available in the Play Store that has malicious code in it. But if you click on the face app at the top of the search in the Play Store, you're not going to get the malicious version. Mm. I think you might even have to sideload it actually.
Can we take my photograph off the screen? I think we've seen.
Should we put mine back on? Scare people even more. I actually look like someone, an actor. I can't remember who it is. Is it Bob Newhart or someone like that? Maybe not. Tom Cruise?
Well, no. I mean, I wouldn't go that far, but hey, beauty's in the eye of the beholder, right?
All right, let's get that off the screen and go back to Werner's rather excellent animation, much better than our ugly old mugs. Rehat, I think that's our show. Apart from our quiz results, let me do the first one. Name the two top EOH executives who resigned this week, a day before EOH published details of an ENS Africa probe into corruption at the JSE-listed firm, and that's Rob Godlinton and Zunaid Mayet, and non-executive director Pomeza Bam also resigned.
Second question, who said earlier this month that Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies are not money? And that is the answer, is US President Donald Trump.
Of course he did. And ITV and the BBC have agreed to create a new online streaming service to rival Netflix. Hope that comes to South Africa, although that'll probably be a UK service. And the question was, what will that service be called? And it'll be called BritBox. Good name.
Interesting. Yeah. Fourth question, which senior Vodacom group executive is joining MTN Group as digital and fintech head? And the answer is Yolanda Cuba.
And which billionaire declared this week that he is ready for his company to take him into space? And that's the inimitable Richard Branson, Sir Richard. And his company, of course, is Virgin Galactic. And he's declared that it's almost ready for commercial spaceflight.
If you can afford that, what, $500,000 price ticket or something like that?
Yeah, when are we going, Richard?
Tech Central sponsored trip. Anytime you're ready.
Yeah,
we'll we can do a podcast in space first. South Africa,
podcast in space. Is there internet up there?
I think we'll just phone up Musk for his
his satellites. Satellite and, just yeah. Turn the satellites towards us.
One phone call, we'll sort it out.
Just want to see before we sign out if there are any final comments from a chat room. Bradley says everyone I've spoken to is freaking out about the privacy aspects of it, but like you say, Facebook does it already. Exactly. Mark Zuckerberg knows more about you than your wife does. Not you, Bradley, but generally speaking. and Werner, who is of course sitting next to me, he says no site on the internet doesn't have the right to do what they want with what you give them. The terms of service state these things. Yes, of course, no one ever reads the terms of service, and they're usually written in legalese and go on for 400 pages. Have you ever read a terms of service agreement, Rohan, a full one?
No, I haven't.
No, me neither. I tried to read Apple's once, and I gave up about halfway through.
I must actually look this up. There's a website that I came across a while ago that actually they go through all the terms of service and they give you basically the short kind of a rundown of it with good or bad type of icons next to the sections.
Okay.
Pretty cool. Well worth Googling and seeing.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Great. Well, that's our show this week. We are live on Sundays at 1 p.m. We're just a little bit late today, but we should be back on track next week. You are in town next week, Richard.
We'll see. I don't know. Busy schedule these days.
Hectic schedule. Yeah. Okay. Well, even if you're in Durban, I might hit you up for a podcast. We can have a nice...
I'll listen to my phone next time. How's it?
Yeah, it'll work fine.
No matter where I go.
Absolutely. Check us out 1 p.m. next Sunday, and subscribe to us on YouTube. Hit that subscribe button. If you see a bell icon anywhere next to our name, I don't know if YouTube still has those bell icons. I don't see them too often anymore.
Yeah, they do.
They do have them. So if you want to get alerted, hit the subscribe button and hit the bell icon and all the other things that will alert you to when we're live. And we'll go live next week, Sunday, 1 p.m. And, of course, we have live podcasts during the week. We didn't have any this week, but we've got some interesting ones lined up for the coming weeks. So if you don't want to miss any of those, also hit that subscribe button. And if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, which, of course, is still available through iono.fm and through your favorite podcatcher, you can reach the show on 071-999-1111. That's our WhatsApp number, 071-999-1111. But thanks to everyone for joining us in the comments room today, and thanks for watching the show. Until next time, from Richard and myself, take care and cheers.
Ciao, ciao.